Where's the intro? Let's do something.
We're doing it. We're going to do a really short intro. In fact, I'm just going to roll this little funny little ad we did
right
for our
music.
Intro. Yeah,
right,
we're going to blast right into it, okay?
Okay.
I want to be covered in drugs.
Who's going to say what needs to be said?
This is Jimmy Doan.
D-O-A-N-E.
The biggest counterfeiter of actual money is the United States government.
Should prostitution be legal?
Should you be able to buy a machine gun with a silencer at the 7-Eleven?
Have your question answered by Jimmy Doan. Email Jimmy at JimmyDoan.com, visit JimmyDoan.com, and listen to the Jimmy Doan Show.
I love
that. Well, you should.
Yes, okay.
Absolutely.
Well, that's our ad, isn't it? That's the ad.
It's one of our ads. We did a bunch. We got a bunch of them for
it's
you.
It's the Jimmy Doan Show.
That's good. Well, for those of the people that are listening on iTunes or whatever, what does that go? That
new
goes
listeners.
On US Web Talk Radio.
Screw
right?
them.
<You're right. laughs> That's right.
If you're not here in the studio, we really don't care about you.
It's Wednesday, June 3rd.
Okay, Jimmy, June 3rd, and we got a full house tonight.
Full house.
We have the Polder guest is here, Polder, and we got
everywhere. We try to do our Justin.
Oh, that's right. We're filming.
We're filming tonight, but unfortunately,
live.
So you probably be able to see this somewhere if you torrent it, because it probably won't be posted to our site.
YouTube.
No, I'm just kidding. But no, we try to do a Justin TV upload, but of course we figured out that Jimmy's bandwidth upload is about 1 bit per minute. So look, that's a look, zero look. Or a one
well,
per minute, which, again...
Hey, sometimes that's all we got around here, so...
Well, yeah, but no, you're talking about full bits. I'm talking about individual bits, you know, yeah.
Well, again, it has to do with the fact that I refused to use copper around the house, and I had a string.
Well, that's because you stripped it all the wall and sold it.
That's right. So right. We have some wet string that we use as our cable here.
Well, yeah, and it picks up our neighbor's Wi-Fi, and that's the only way we're getting to do anything
nice.
Down here.
So that's good. Anyway, so... Jack Rhodes is here.
Hey, it's good to be here, Jimmy.
Good to hear. Yes, good. And Counselor Curtis.
Hey, Jimmy.
We have legal questions tonight.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready,
yeah,
man.
You're ready. Okay,
we got several.
That's good.
Big R research.
Baby.
One, of course, a shout-out as usual to Hanger Dogs.
HangerDogs.com. HangerDogs.com.
We had, and Counselor, and our Master Mixer here.
Mm-hmm.
Master something. Vader. Mixer. Somebody. Sieg Heil. Yep. Engineer Eric.
Yes, they. Thank you.
Okay. We had record hits in May.
Amazing.
Which is amazing.
Woo!
Since we didn't hardly have any shows.
Yeah.
No,
I'm beginning to think if we don't have any more in June, we should have a new record.
Man, it's like that every time.
And in fact, if we... Yeah, right.
Yeah,
but there's just so much to talk about.
Well, we did get the email from David and from Counselor Bart and
we
from...
We appreciate all those emails.
Yeah,
from,
yeah. Thanks for sending that.
Yeah,
thing.
Steve wrote in about... I forget, he sent me something about stuff. But anyway, we love it all. And it's probably in the notes here someplace we'll go through. But quite a few things happen. Locally, nationally. And... Yeah, locally.
Locally,
and
nationally.
Internationally. And
including
the space station.
Oh, that was awesome. Engineer Eric and I watched the space station fly over. Hope you all listeners saw it.
Well, of course, the big news was they toasted with the recycled urine.
Oh, nice.
You saw that.
Get,
that
get
was
out
that's
out
no, no,
town.
That was like on YouTube. Oh, no, they were
get
they were
out
whole, no, it's true. They were trying the new
They had a little
water.
Yeah,
it was water.
Water
recycled
right.
their
recycled
own urine.
Right.
Their urine,
yeah.
I believe.
But
yeah.
Right. So I mean, so there's no. So there's you know building up the immune system. But I mean, it was all over the. You know, it was
all
like,
over the space station.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Would you like?
But I mean, you just thought it was Dom Perignon 45 or something. The
right.
way they were toasting this stuff.
It was. If you're like going to Mars and you needed,
that's
you know,
true.
Courses,
that's
you know?
True. Any port in a storm. So I thought. Anyway, so that's international. But locally,
we're all drinking recycled whale pee anyway. I mean, it's all, you know, from
well,
50
again, we're probably,
ago.
And breathing Napoleon's air. And
right,
I don't
exactly.
Know.
You know, hey, every yeah. atom in your body recycles
every
7
atom,
years.
Right.
Right.
Star stuff, as they say. Okay.
Stars.
Locally, we're having some fun.
We're
of course,
start
our,
locally.
Well, hold on.
I'm sorry.
Locally, you did two big things.
So we have
you were on, you got to tell our listeners about your thing where they couldn't actually gong you. On the on the Alatra County meeting,
right?
You went
right,
down
right,
there.
Right, 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 right. Well, that was all over TV.
Oh,
no,
right.
That was great.
People
no,
here.
I went down.
So, just a preview. We're going to get into the Obama stuff. We're
yes,
get
we are.
Into
lots
the
of Obama,
it.
And we add,
Hugo,
and there's
Hugo.
I got all Hugo stuff.
Okay, Hugo.
I believe there's a Hugo stuff too. Okay, so don't go away.
Yeah, let's do the entire list right now.
Kim
How
Jong.
About that? We'll just tell everybody what we think. Okay.
Okay.
How about we let Jimmy talk for 1 second?
Okay.
But this was classic because
well, what happened was it's you know this happens of course around the nation that every locale the counties the cities and so forth have budget hearings, and so I decided to go down to one. So I went in
How
there
many people
again,
were there
and
from
there was
the community?
Like 100 people there. at this budget meeting. There was like 100 people there. Maybe not 100, 60. Say 60 people were at this budget meeting.
There were 60 hundred.
Are you 60? Sure no, there were 60? There,
I don't know.
Maybe
let
20.
Me put it this way. The room was full.
Okay, but was it a small room?
No, it was where they have the normal hearings at home. I think the mandated maximum is like 175. And
60 people from the community?
Well, no. I'm glad you asked their legal breath, because, in fact, there was exactly one person.
Constituent.
Jimmy
constituent.
Doan.
There was actually one
representative.
There was one representative of the community. That
so you
was
mean at this democratically convened,
orchestrated,
everybody there, save for Jimmy.
Power meeting.
Power meeting.
Right.
And this was a
where
budget.
These people
this
deciding
was to decide
policy.
How to spend the money and where to cut and so
it was,
forth.
It was
everybody
stacked.
There. Stacked. Well,
from a community of 100,000 with exactly.
No, this is a county meeting. 220,000.
Oh, county meeting. Okay.
County meeting. 220,000. Out of 60 people in the room, 59 of them worked for the county. Mm-hmm. Now, what side do you suppose they were on? Cutting or spending?
You know, both?
Yeah, no. Well, I'm telling you, you'd have thought. I mean, the fact is that it's across the board. You know, I mean, you talk about the Lone Ranger.
Did you wear a bandana?
I wish I'd had a goddamn
Darth
silver
Vader
bullet.
Mask,
I could have used it. But it's,
did you ride it on Trigger?
Yeah, that's right.
Man.
Well, I tell you, you know, it was because they were up there moaning about how they're going to have to cut because, you know, across the country, we had the housing debacle and everything,
well,
which
like,
is just, by the way,
because they had an exercise, okay?
Right.
And they passed
oh,
out.
That, no, wait a minute. That was another thing.
Okay.
Okay. I'll talk about that later.
Okay.
I'll talk about that. I'd go into that first. They had that was a town hall meeting. And in fact, there was quite a bit of people from the community. But later I went down to talk to the actual county commissioners at this other budget meeting about what I had learned at the town hall meeting. And as I say, I was the only one that showed up. The managers were all there from the, you know, the environmental manager, the transportation manager.
Humane Society. Humane Society.
Yeah, the animal rescue people. Mm-hmm.
Everybody who gets a buck.
Everybody who gets a buck was just about, well, actually wasn't all of them, but it was about six or seven of them. And they gave their little PowerPoint presentations they had done on why you can't cut my budget.
Right.
This is essential, and the earth will spin off its axis into the sun, into flames, if you cut my budget
What did you say to the animal control people?
I told the animal control people control is easy. Here in Florida, we have automatic and nature and environmentally friendly.
Right.
Animal control.
Recycling.
Alligators.
We have alligators. And
I told them
to take her little pet dog down by Lake Alice and take it off the leash or not. And you won't have a thing to worry about.
It'll recycle your pet automatically.
Recycle your pet automatically. The DNA goes back into the system.
You didn't actually say that at the meeting, did you?
Yes,
I did.
You actually did.
Yes, I actually did.
Or organic compost.
Your puppy comes out as crop poop.
That's right.
Do you think 24 hours?
It's recycled. It's not a problem solved.
Right.
And of course, when I said that, you could hear in the room the moan. Oh, you know, and they're all
and a couple.
No, it was funny because you know,
and Rich from the pawn shop blew some sort of cocktail all over himself.
Jimmy, you're obviously political to the core.
Yeah, right. Well, they
man, they had the guy in the bag just typing Jimmy Doan into Google right away.
Yeah,
who is this guy? Here's the deal. So everybody spoke, and then at the end of the meeting, they had
time for citizen comment. And it turned out that normally they cut you off after 3 minutes, but
the community
they had
like
5 or 6 minutes left over before they all had to go home or something. So
oh,
I got up there and chatted with them, and I said, you know,
no.
This is interesting.
Oh, no.
No.
Not Jimmy, don't.
No, that's right.
Oh, no.
No, you could see.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, Lucy.
Don't give him the 5 minutes on it. Ah.
No.
Mr. Doan,
don't give him the microphone. Not the mic. No, the live. The mic's live. Oh,
you know, they're going like this.
Yeah.
You know, they're, you know, hand making a knife across the neck right. thing trying to do this. But, I mean, not only that, the, you know, you could see the eyeballs roll back into their head, like staring at their brain.
How did you enlighten them, Jimmy?
Because they know me, as they say.
Right. So what was your gist?
So what I said was, I said, I find it interesting, and isn't it a little ironic that there are, you know, the managers are all down here moaning about how they're going to have to, you know, not hire somebody or fire somebody. And I said, I'm the only one from the community showing up, and I want to tell you, I've cut back to the point where I'm eating ramen and roadkill for, you know, meals. and the
ramen noodles.
And
all the band guys got
and the protein
that,
and the protein from the armadillos out here on the road. It's right, no problem. Right, you know, right, that's no pretty problem. Good to eat. Pretty good eating if you get them early.
Right.
You gotta get them. You gotta get them before them damn vultures, those turkey vultures that's get right. in, because they'll poop all over
okay,
the place.
Okay. So.
So anyway, that and I said, you know, I'm have become the coupon king. Basically, I've cut my everything down by about 40%. And I said, seems a little enough to ask that you guys could do the same thing. And they, you know, looked at me like I was from another planet. I mean, are you speaking English here? Are you what? I'm sorry. Are you speaking Klingon?
His lips are moving.
His lips are moving, but we don't understand what he's saying. Well, the thing that gets me about this is that what I've done, and a lot of people here locally, and I think individually, people are preparing for worse times. And here's one of the reasons. There was an article in the paper, I think it was yesterday, the day before, think about it for a second. In 2005, 2006, when the housing boom was in full swing, prices were going through the ceiling and everything like this. Before the crash, this was like 3 years ago, that you could go down and get a mortgage on your condo in Palm Beach or Miami or even here locally. You know, and here's a piece of property that in 8 years or 6 years had gone from $100,000 to $400,000. You walk into the bank and they give you this teaser rate, this 5-year teaser rate, which is like 1% or something for 5 years, and then it resets. And not only that, they would finance 100%. So in the meantime, here it is 2 years later, and a lot of these resets are coming up, and here's your $400,000 condo is now worth $250,000. You've got the $400,000 financed at 1 or 2 or 3%. It's going to go to 6.5 or 7. I mean, if you think we've seen foreclosures so far, over the next 2 or 3 years, it's going to be, you know, it could very easily continue. And they're acting down here like if the crisis is over. And right. I'm saying, you know, you need to be prepared as I am. You know, I've cut back beyond what I would normally do. And I think that a lot of people have. And that's one of the reasons why consumer confidence is low. And that's why Macy's and Belk's and all these other places are, you know, screaming. And
unemployment is up again, but you know what's
interesting about this is when I was mentioning these people before, when you drive around Gainesville here, and I'm sure this is the same in many, many communities, what do you see? I've seen signs out in the road, a free 2 months free rent. We've reduced our prices. There's Grandy's up here.
Everything on sale.
Everything on sale. Coupons, all of it. In order to entice customers, these people are dying, and entice customers in, they have slashed everything to the bone.
That's the definition of depression, the price.
Well, I know, but my point is that this is competition, too. They are competing for this resource, and the only vehicle they have is to beg you to come in, entice you to come in, to bribe you to come in. On the other hand, the government here, a $330 million business, has under no subcompunction. And what they're doing is the exact opposite. They're raising the rates, raising the fees. Mm-hmm. One of the things down here.
And the commissioners all took salary cuts, right?
Yeah, right.
And health care cuts and all that stuff.
That's right. And their retirement.
Those managers had a proposed budget with slashes in it.
Right.
Yeah.
They did, actually, because it was mandated. But the county here punted because what they said
they slashed some other person's thing.
Yeah.
You're not. I think you should cut the water and sewer. I'm the Humane Society. Yeah.
No, well, my point is that it is interesting in the private sector and the voluntary sector. In order to get people to come in, the tool you have is to beg people one way or the other, bribe them, offer them something that they, at a better price, it's competition. In the government-run sector, when the revenues decline, what do? They get out the gun and they say, no, you're still going to pay. I mean, they have raised, Tallahassee raised over 300 fees and fines this last legislature. It just ended here last, you know, it starts up July 1st, I think, or June 1st, maybe. I forget what. It's just getting ready to go. Locally here, they're doing the same thing.
We've been talking about, Jimmy, that the taxes are coming. I mean,
But also the revenue has decreased because of the fact that everybody has stopped spending and stopped moving and stopped paying taxes.
Well, even
because they can't afford to do anything.
Right.
And they haven't cut spending. And Tallahassee, as you said, they punted. Explain Tallahassee. Tallahassee punted.
What they did is they passed a whole bunch of new fees and fines and everything so that they could keep those revenues up. The police, the Highway Patrol, for instance, is out doing sting operations every day. They issued 2,200 citations over an 8-hour period here recently for seatbelt violations and
well,
stuff.
Those are jobs.
I saw them out infestation today. They were out there. I mean, there was.
Well, those are jobs, Jimmy.
I understand that. My point is that they go and they do these huge. It's like a drug sweep.
Wait, let's do the do the math on that. How many?
They did 2,200, and they had like 60 DUIs and. But I mean, they did it. You know, the point is that all these guys were over there on I-4, and my question to them was, while you're writing this ticket, you know, 1,000 cars went by, you didn't get them, and also, what about I-95, I-275, I-10? You weren't there because you're all down here.
That's why they need the automatic camera tickets.
Well, they're going to do that too, and of course, the cameras being as bright as they are, you know, the red light system here, without the cameras, is the stupidest thing in the world because you know, no right turn on red at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you're wondering, what are you talking about? You know, so.
The
point is that Tallahassee borrowed money from their slush fund or whatever it is. That wasn't supposed to be touched. And they transferred money from what they call the trust funds. That is, here in Florida and many places, and in fact, in federal does the same thing. They have dedicated, the way they've gotten some of the taxes passed, as they said, like the road tax. The road tax is supposed to be only spent on roads. The tobacco settlement money was only spent schools.
How do you find out? This
lottery
stuff,
money, not lottery money.
How do you find out that they raided this trust fund or this or
because
that?
Because they bragged about it. They said this is what we have to do this year.
Where?
In the newspaper. Although I suppose maybe there's some chance that might not exactly be right.
Well, no, okay. I mean,
they did raid the trust funds, and so they're not trust funds anymore. Who could trust these guys? You don't anyway. But they did that. In spite of that, they did cut 10%. From almost 10% from the budget.
Now, when you went in your little meeting, you cut 20% right off the bat.
Right. Oh, yeah. That was, We had the meeting, and they asked us to do it.
Right.
So I sat at the table, and before the guy finished asking, could you cut 10%?
Before he finished passing out the forms.
No. I mean, my pencil was still, you know, had poised, for God's sakes, and I'd cut 20%. But as I explained to them down there, I said, I have one advantage that you just simply don't have, and I'm not up for re-election. And the simple fact is because...
Jimmy, are you trying to say they make political decisions down there?
I tried to explain that to them, and as I say, I don't know if they're doing a la-la-la thing or...
They look at you funny?
Yeah, looked at me funny like, what do you mean? You know, and I said, you know, I cut 20% in a heartbeat. And one of the things, of course, here locally that's interesting is the unions, the two unions that are very powerful besides the teachers union are the firefighters union and the police. And I'll tell you, the way they work here is if you had a policeman on every corner, it still wouldn't be enough. I mean, they think, and I'll tell you, a lot of people are enamored of, you know, they talk about fire and safety as fire and police protection as the basis, you know, don't ever cut that. Well, I said, you know, when I see half a dozen cops out there with a radar gun, obviously nailing people for the money, or when they did the thing here at the school where they parked out there and got the 22 kids for not wearing their seatbelts as they came out of school, and it's $105 each for that.
You know, not revenue generated.
No revenue there. And of course they're right in. They said, well, these guys put on their Kevlar vests and they risk their lives. And I thought, well, you know, how much life do you actually risk
in Gainesville,
for God's sakes, if you're arresting a 17-year-old kid coming out of Buchholz High School? I mean, you know, give me a break. I don't think you're going to get your head blown off.
I personally walked through the worst section of town in the middle of the night, no problem here.
Yeah, well, you're ahead of me because I've done that and actually been accosted.
I'd be bringing a gun, but I'd still do it.
Yeah, no, I mean, but I've had to smoke some dope and everything to get through there. So.
I'm cool, man.
The other thing that I thought that I think we were talking about it at lunch or dinner when you said, you know, you guys got a real opportunity here.
Yeah, no, that was the other thing. I said, that's what I said. I said, you have a real opportunity for once. And they'd made this clear in the workshop that this is historic. This is in our lifetime here in Florida. It has always been revenue increases automatically because the saying was there were 330 families a day that moved to Florida over the last, you know, 20 years. Well, you know, it was a gold mine. Not only that, they raised when I first came here to Florida, I think the sales tax was 3%. It's now 6 plus some options. So we've always had in Florida, it's like the Alaskan oil field never run out, you know, suddenly. For the first time in anybody's knowledge, we have a reduction. People didn't show up and so forth. So now you have to start thinking out of the box. And I said, you have a once in a lifetime opportunity and you won't lose the election because nobody could have done any better. You have a once in a lifetime opportunity to look at the citizens here locally and say, hey, we've got no choice. We have no money. We have to cut 20% and hope that it doesn't go down that bad. We're preparing for the worst. It's like a hurricane. Hey, we're familiar with hurricanes here in Florida. And let me tell you, when they're five...
You're just never going to say that.
When they're 5 days... Well, I'm saying you wouldn't lose the election. You know, when the hurricanes are 5 days off...
Yeah, but if you were up against the guy who didn't say that and who only said stuff like, we're going to pull through this with all the jobs and whatever, then that guy presumably could count on whoever lost their jobs for his vote.
Okay, well,
let me tell you something.
Yeah, exactly. Think about it for a second. This is 2009.
They got a year
and a half to be proven correct. And they will be proven correct. Jimmy is telling you, as we've talked about.
The other guy can claim that was due to some other factors.
Again, they can claim anything. My point is that, to be honest for once, politician is an oxymoron.
Thank you, EE, because I was getting ready to do it if you didn't.
But they could get away with it.
Laughing
and
at it.
and cut and go for the worst case condition rather than nibbling around the edges and then see what happens. Of course, what would happen is the earth would not spin off its axis. We would get along just fine. You know, a lot of these programs didn't exist 10 or 15 years ago.
They're essential programs.
Jim. Yeah, right. Well, now they're essential. They weren't then. And I'll tell you, it wasn't like there was
savage
body parts
years,
laying all over the
years
street.
Ago. Oh, yes. No, Jimmy, there was no law and order.
Yeah,
Jimmy.
Right. Marauding gangs escaped from New York.
The wild
Plissken
60s.
Was here with...
Snake Plissken was here. Yeah, I loved it. Well,
he was on the outside.
He was on the outside.
I happened to see the 5-minute clip only because Jimmy played it for him, not that I watched Channel 12. But the thing was is that he goes, you know, I've been here, which is true, for half a century. You know, I remember when 39th Avenue was a dirt road.
Now, for those of you listening, 39th Avenue, like
39
you can almost
blocks
see,
away from Main Street.
You could, yeah, you could practically see it from here. You could see it from any place in Gainesville. That's how far away it is.
It's a landing strip.
Yeah, it's a landing strip.
Right. Yeah, they used to land B-24s out there. Yeah. Right.
So well, yeah, and as I say, it wasn't like there were body parts laying all over the place or dead people or distended bellies or starving.
So what else is happening, Jimmy, here?
Okay. Locally, also, our friend, for those of you who don't know, Corinne Brown.
Corinne
Brown. She's going to run for the Senate.
Oh, no.
Now, Corinne Brown is...
The Florida Senate?
Yeah, No. No.
Oh, the United States
United
Senate.
States against Martinez.
Oh,
yeah.
So is Charlie Crist.
I know, but I'm saying that Corinne is no offense, but she is our absolutely affirmative action poster child.
There you go.
Yeah, no, she's a whack job. Mm-hmm. She's currently in the House. Whenever you see her in the House, it's just, God, I'll tell you, she is.
It's a poor representation.
Oh, my God. I mean, she's.
All right, EE is kicking in on this show.
I like it. Serious point.
Keep it going, baby.
So
what's Corrine up to?
Well, no, she's going to, they said she's going to, she's put out an exploratory committee, it is. And
that's it. She's not going to do anything. She's going to run for
She's going to run and she's going to go on the black thing.
Got to get us some money.
She's going to go on the black thing. That's all there is to it.
It's a black thing.
Exploratory. Once people get my message, they'll be energized. I'll tell you one thing.
Well, black is in. Did you see that email?
Is she black?
There?
I didn't know.
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
He's kicking himself.
Yeah, she's got that last time.
She's got a mullet to die for, I'm telling you right now.
Oh, really?
All right, so what else is happening?
All right. But I love this. Once people get my message, they'll be energized. Last sentence. They'll be energized, all right, babe. I wanted to ask a legal question before I move on to the national stuff. Says here the Florida A&M University student was involved in a grade-changing crisis, sentenced to 2 years in prison. Apparently, he hacked into the computer system at FAMU campus and changed a bunch of grades from, you know, F to A or something like that. And got caught for it. 2 years in jail?
Man, they're still doing that.
That's it? 2 years in jail for changing a grade?
Yeah.
Wow, they got to be more than that.
One of three former Florida A&M University students involved in a computer hacking case was sentenced to almost 2 years in prison.
Well, that's 2 years.
How many grades?
They told me when I changed all my grades that I'd be, you know. Well, that's a lot more trouble if they caught me.
Yeah, but that was 2 years on top of the assault and battery.
He hacked in or whatever.
He through a computer.
He changed
he
the grades of about 90 students from 114 F's to A's. Yeah.
90. Oh, that's cool.
But
war games.
But I mean, yeah.
So
but I mean,
pencil.
Is that really pencil. Prison for 22 months? I mean,
man, you can go to prison for anything. These
I know,
days.
But I mean, that seems a little harsh.
Some people got that.
I mean, instead of laughing at it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask me, we're way in the.
We're way beyond it. Okay, well, and here we are. Here we are, as you know.
You can go to jail for that.
starting like 2 days ago, U.S. travelers, Ricard, to pass your papers, to carry your papers, your passports. Now you can't even go. You can't step across the border into Canada and come back without a passport. And the only time, even if you go on a cruise ship, it comes. You have to have your passport, unless. It's a gambling cruise ship that never touches land.
Yeah, but people who don't travel don't know how lax it was and how cool it was before, you know.
Well,
as long as we don't have to have the thing here on your person.
Man,
you have to have your passport on you at all times here, really, that's when we're in
serious. In the old days, really, you just had to be an American. If you
well,
spoke
you
English,
think about it. You know, you think about
enough.
It, as somebody
they
once
wave
said.
You on through in Egypt.
Yeah, right on.
As one way.
Speaking, yeah, over here.
One of the earliest travelers, of course, in the United States has received a lot of press recently was Alexis de Tocqueville, and his book was called Democracy in America, and he talked about what would it take to this. He wrote the book in 1830 or 1840, and you know what would it take for America to die, basically to croak, and he said. What'll happen?
He Obama.
Says basically, what he said was, it'll be a soft tyranny. As the government slowly encroaches and takes over and co-opts more and more of the health care, the education, and so forth, that's the way he saw America. This is 130, 170 years ago he wrote this. So I thought it was... It's very.
Tighten your grip, Tuck. The more star systems will slip through your fingers.
Grandma.
That's right. So anyway, if you go to... So the...
And new Star Wars intro coming soon.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So the point is that now, as one wag said, when Alexis de Tocqueville... traveled to America in the late 1820s or
1830s. That's Mr. Tocqueville to you.
That's right. That's just when he traveled, it was a lot easier. It was a lot easier because there were no airports.
He flew over the United States.
No. But there was no TSA.
Right.
You know, you get off the boat and you walk in.
Right.
Hello.
Yeah.
You know,
Transsexual Association.
With your firearm on your side.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So.
Well, yeah, and in the hangar dogs are talking about the fact that the Canadians are buying guns that are cost $250 up here. They're paying $2,500 to $4,000 for the gun, and they'll trade you in pot if you want.
Well, you did see where the
it's the guns for pot program. Apparently.
Yeah, it gives you a list of the ones that they're seeking after on the Hangar Dog Show.
What different kinds of pot?
No, and
looking for
also Stitch made a point too on the Hangar Dogs. He goes since they passed the half millionaires tax from 2005, like something like 1,100 people a day have been moving from the states with the highest income tax to the states with no income tax.
Right. Run away!
Well, you know, let me tell you, one billionaire in New Jersey or New York, I forget, he moved to Florida. And just as his, he's going to save $5 million a year. I mean, that's like, think about it. If you had an extra $5 million a year, I mean, that's, you could live anywhere you want.
And we take PayPal.
I know. That's what I was saying.
Get a hold of that guy. He's friend of the Jimmy Doan Show.
Absolutely.
I'll not mention your name if you don't want to.
I'll send him a link.
There you go. Send him a link.
That's right. Look at that.
Yeah, that's it.
In fact, on the link note, let's take a quick break just for like a
okay.
quick thing.
All right.
And we'll be right back on the
Jimmy
Doan Show. And we're back!
Hey! And well, hell of a product, too.
Buy one.
As the news, here we are still, this is what, June 3rd, 2009.
Still.
As we're recording this, as you're listening to this, it's probably, you know, September 14th, 3010. No, it's
we hope. 10.
We hope.
We have morphed into.
That's right.
No, well, this will. You know, there's that series that's running on History TV now called.
Uh-oh, digression.
After Humans.
Yeah.
And
right,
so what we're hoping is the Jimmy Doan Show will, you know, even after it's all overgrown and everything else, the capsule will be unearthed and they'll say, This was a great country.
Well, hopefully there's going to be an infinite amount of benders running around, like with an infinite amount of Jimmy Doan shows just burping out Jimmy Doan stuff.
Well, of course, you know, we did do a little research on the CubeSat.
Yes.
And
this CubeSat's looking good.
This is a digression of the digression.
Yes. That's right.
Well,
you're keeping track.
So we're Jimmy.
And just for our listeners out there who don't know
what a CubeSat is,
one of our ultimate projects here at the Jimmy Doan Show is to broadcast from space.
Yep.
And exactly.
Nice.
See, because that way
that's the third digression.
Nobody can mess with us.
It's a drinking game for our
fans. And we can have absolutely pure content.
And in fact, we're going to make it user uploadable.
Unadulterated.
So, yeah. So that you could, we're going to have like 99 channels on there. And
so that the listener can
sign on there. It's going to be whipping around. It's only about 15 minutes like worth of upload time there as it cruises overhead. But again, once you upload to it, you know, it'll go around there forever until somebody else knocks you out.
If you'd like to help us out with that, go to our website and contribute and designate your... Yeah.
It looks as though...
I believe the minimum contribution is $100,000.
No, it's actually, like a dollar, man.
Yeah,
a nickel.
A cent.
Seriously.
Yeah. 50 cent
work for me.
We're cool with that. Absolutely.
All right, so for those keeping track, that was the third digression, because I'm getting a lot of emails now. Apparently there's a drinking game among our fans that every time we take a digression, you take a shot.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
Is that a fourth digression?
That was a
digression.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Drink up.
All right, Jimmy, take us back home, baby.
Okay, we're
back
home. Hold on. There you go. Hey, I had to use that one sometime.
Eric, are you in the game? Is that what the deal is?
I don't have the anger dog's
beer. We're almost down to the worm.
Yeah, almost down. Worm, what was that?
And it ain't wiggling.
It ain't wiggling.
It ain't wiggling.
What else we got, Jimmy?
More things. As the news tightens.
Okay.
Sweat equals threat. Army looks at abnormal perspiration as a sign of harmful intent. If you walk around weird, make funny faces, or sweat a little too much, watch out. When you walk into an airport, the U.S. military wants to use those irregularities as, quote, indicators, unquote, of possibly suspicious and harmful intent.
Yeah.
So in between the nude X-rays they got going on,
right.
Now they're checking for under
arms. Nothing showed up when we're looking at your naked body, but
the terrorist smirk.
You look a little uncomfortable.
The terrorist smirk.
And that's it. The terrorist sweat.
Right, when the brow's just under the rag.
When the three of us were strip searching you, you looked a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, you look a little uncomfortable.
If the turban's not straight, you look suspicious.
Well, as I say, Well, the thing that did come along with that, it was on the same thing. Where was it here? I had it on the thing.
If you're not carrying a 30-round magazine,
speaking of silly smiles or whatever it is, the Virginia DMV has banned smiles.
Oh, I saw this. Department of Motor Vehicles.
Smiles. What are you talking about?
Few places in Virginia are as draining into the soul and numbing.
No, come on.
As the buttocks of the branch offices of the Department of Motor Vehicles, and yet until recently, smiling was still permitted.
Are you kidding me, Jimmy?
No more. As part of the DMV's effort to develop super secure driver's licenses and foolproof identification cards, the agency has issued a smile ban directing customers to adopt a neutral expression.
It's all teeth.
Thereby extinguishing whatever happiness comes from one's finally hearing one's number called. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Unbelievable.
They banned smiles.
Wait, pull out your driver's license right now.
Half of us in the room already are smiling.
Go ahead and pull out your driver's license right now and see if there's a smile on it.
I'm wearing an eye patch on mine. They didn't know I was can see out of both eyes.
I remember one time.
I'm ear to ear, like, hey.
I remember one time.
Yeah, but your eyes are closed.
Yeah.
How can you read this?
And you smell good.
There's no rule against that.
Yeah, this is fog.
Look here and smile. They didn't say anything about open your eyes.
Right. No, but I mean, you think about it for a second. Here's somebody. I was talking to this girl the other day. She said her parents spent, I don't know, untold amount of money to make her smile. I mean, you know, the orthodontist or whatever it is. I mean, $20,000 or something. She does have a pretty smile. Not in Virginia, not allowed to use it.
No way, man.
So that's exactly what it is. So at a Manassas DMV yesterday, This is like a couple days ago. They translated to a simple directive, don't smile. That's exactly what a DMV attendant, I mean, this got to be from the TSA people. They got fired from TSA. Told a Manassas resident, Maria Kisipe, when she sat down against the white backdrop and attempted to look happy for the photo. Say cheese, said her little stepdaughter. No cheese today, said the DMV attendant. The shutter clicked and the attendant consulted a computer monitor, then shook her head disapprovingly. Quisp's teeth had been visible. Her teeth had been visible.
No teeth.
Your mouth was open, the attendant said.
Wait, that's a rule that girls should know anyway. There are no teeth, girls.
It is, let me tell you, you think about this for a second. This is the camera shutter person at the DMV. I mean, this is even lower
power.
Than a TSA.
He has power to control.
Don't smile. You know, I mean, what I would like to do would be just, of course, like me, I would care.
You'd smile.
I'd go in there and just smile anyway, you know, and see how long it is.
Can you frown?
Is it felony smiling? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Can you stick your tongue out?
Well, again.
I happen to know that Engineer Eric one time was made to have to go through the whole damn line again because he had sunglasses on top of his head.
Oh, yeah.
There was this little barely perceptible amount of distortion in his hair.
Yeah.
That they deemed disapproving.
So you would never recognize him. You would never recognize this mugshot.
No. Hell
you would
no.
never know.
They'd be looking
I mean, look at this.
And there's
this little ripple across.
It was so funny,
that guy.
Because I'll have my shades on my head.
Yeah, right, exactly. Wrong guy.
Yeah,
sorry.
And I sleep with sunglasses on my head. So, I mean, again, it would have been just fine.
This is just amazing.
No, moving
right,
on, of course.
Moving right along.
Government at work. FBI use of the Patriot Act authority has increased dramatically in 2008. FISA court authorization on national security and counterterrorism wiretaps dropped last year to almost 300. However, FBI use of national security letters has risen from 16 to 24,000, up 50%. The 2008 targeted, and literally, 7,200 U.S. 7,200 U.S. citizens.
What was this? I'm sorry.
This is the U.S. The FBI has stepped up by 50%.
Right.
The use of the Patriot Act, which means that you don't have to actually get a court order. You use the security letter.
In other words,
wiretapping, open your mail, check your cell phone, the whole deal.
Are they actually apprehending?
These should be illegal searches and seizures.
Yeah, they should be.
They're filing for use of this for these.
No, they're not filing because they don't have to file. This is the executive privilege that what's happening when he says those magic words there.
They don't have to file.
Right. Well,
this is them filing to not file.
National security letters have been in use since the 1980s, but the Patriot Act expanded all kinds of records that could be obtained.
Right. I remember this.
They do not require court approval and come with a built-in lifetime gag order.
Lifetime.
Yeah, I don't know whose lifetime, but long time, I'll bet you.
Oh my God!
The Justice Department has said, you know, this is illegal, and the FBI says, sue me. So
sue me.
That's it. Sue me.
Unbelievable.
Now, then, as the next thing here, I noticed, we talked about it last. Jimmy is flying through this.
This is awesome.
Yes. Good job.
Keep going.
What is fine? Remember, we talked about in Washington D.C. on one of them where they were issuing tickets if you were parking in your own driveway, but your tail end happened to stick out of what they called public property, since Washington D.C. was founded, you thought it was your own property.
1,000 years.
Speaking of D.C., we remember what D.C. stands for, right?
District what?
The capital.
Oh, the capital.
Didn't we talk about that last show?
I guess I'm not even going to get into here.
Okay, anyway, so video right, in D.C.
what they used to call the Beltway. So at any rate, and of course I was there before it was built.
Oh, so what do they do?
So
with
now,
this,
now it turns out it's not enough that the police used to go around and give you a ticket for parking, you know, erroneously. It's not enough that they went ahead and hired some ex-TSA people to drive around in those little cart-lick things to hand you a
Segways.
Ticket. Now, the street sweeper guy.
Oh.
Went out there.
Nuh-uh.
Yes, the street sweeper. This is in the big box machine.
He's going to be authorized to hand out a ticket.
Upgraded to an officer?
The little guy from Pink Panther?
Is it Evan Sweeper?
From Pink Panther?
Oh, this, man, I got to tell you guys, I saw it when I was coming up from another digression here.
Take a shot, baby.
If you're
take a shot.
King or street sweeper, sooner or later you dance with the reaper.
I had to come up from South Florida, and I stopped at the first rest stop past Wildwood as you're going north on I-75, and there was a security guard there. He is an absolute clone of Buford T. Justice.
Really?
Buford T. Justice. I mean,
I'm gonna barbecue your ass, dude.
Junior?
Did you whip out the cell phone and take a shot or what?
I'm gonna put your mama.
Put that on YouTube or
hold on.
That's
Facebook
great.
Or something. I got one. I gotta play this.
All right, so of course.
Hold on, Jack. Hold on.
Oh, you got some?
Yeah, hold on. I got some.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at him, and he was walking down the road, on the sidewalk, and I, waved at him, and he cocked his head sideways like, how you doing? Just like Buford,
All right, well, we got
was it Halloween party?
He had the pot belly. He had the brim hat on, man. He was absolutely, I had to slow down to 1 mile an hour as I drove past going, there's no way.
Is this Jerry Clower?
Did any coke come out of your nose laughing?
Oh, man, I was dying. I mean, I saw him, and I was like, going, no, it can't be.
Snort.
There's no way. No way.
Oh, was there just toilet paper stuck to his shoe?
Yeah.
No, I think I'd have paid him money to take a picture of that.
Oh, I'll bet.
Glasses.
You probably not the first one.
I think it was stuck to his glasses.
So anyway, moving on to other intrusions.
All right, other intrusions.
The Federal Communications Commission is now doing warrantless household searches.
No.
And it alarms the experts. Certainly not the people.
What do you mean, the experts?
You may not know it, but if you have a wireless router, a cordless phone, a remote car door opener, a baby monitor, or cell phone in your house, the FCC claims the right to enter your home without a warrant at any time of the day in order to or night to inspect it.
What?
That is the upshot of the rules the agency has followed for years to monitor licensed television and radio stations. Now, you know, pirate stations, and they used to do this. I mean, you could set up, as we've talked about actually, setting up a mobile
pirate radio.
Jimmy Doan station.
We are mobile. What are you talking about? We're moving around right now.
Okay. Stop the video. They have the authority to stop piracy. Well, they can use that broadly now. If your baby monitor creates interference next door, they can walk in your door. I mean, I don't
with
think
guns?
They do it yet.
Steal your baby.
Exactly.
I mean,
Elian Gonzalez.
It's because of the erosion of the search. Need for search warrants because of the George Bush era and that kind of crap that these guys are even thinking about that kind of intrusion.
Why do you put that on Bush? This is a classic case of
you give them an inch and they'll take a mile because there's nothing to stop them, and that's what tyranny's all about. I mean,
I'm ragging on Bush for that particular thing because there was no need for them to get warrantless searches. The FISA courts
talking about Patriot Act right after 9/11?
Yeah.
I agree. That was pretty extreme fast. Now, remember, I mean, everybody said yes. You know, that I was a problem. It wasn't just him, but you...
Before they passed the act, Bush went and did a bunch of warrantless tapping and he should have been going through the FISA court, which allowed him to do it anyway. That was the whole thing.
Right.
They just didn't even bother to go through
to
the court.
Right. Yeah. All right, so anyway, keep going.
Anyway.
So anyway, now here's the next item, and this is
something that... Before we do that, can we just do one quick break?
Yes, break it is.
One quick break. All right, we'll be right back on the
Jimmy Doan Show.
All right, we're back on the Jimmy Doan Show.
Okay, buy that product. I want to ask you this, is we're still going on the erosion of our liberty and so forth, and here's a question for our erstwhile barrister. Police can forcibly take DNA samples during arrests.
Oh my God, I saw this.
In the first case of its type, a federal judge in California has ruled that police can forcibly take DNA samples, including drawing blood with a needle, from Americans who have been arrested but not convicted of a crime.
Suspects.
They are suspects.
How about squeezing your worm?
what kind of fluids are they taking?
You only get half DNA from that.
Look, I have said...
Get a hand job from the
intrusion into your body is... That right there is just another step in the intrusion into your body. It's amazing what they're able to do. And to forcibly take blood from somebody who's just a suspect, it's crazy. If you think about it, I tell people all the time, people ask me, well, what's wrong if you're a suspect? There's some hideous crime or something. For them to put you in a jail cell or take your blood or whatever. And my answer.
Well, let me tell you what happens. Or what has happened around here recently.
Hold on, let me just finish this one thought, and that is my answer is that if they can treat you like that as a suspect, then they never need to convict you.
Right.
Okay. They just put you in jail and leave you there, and they don't even bother with the case.
Right.
Okay. So and if they can poke you with a needle and do stuff like that, I mean, it's just an incredible imposition on your personal liberty. So I'm sorry, Jimmy. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. It's one of the things that we do find here locally. It's happened a couple of times. Is not only when if you're a suspect, you can be shot in the back and killed.
Yeah, I mean,
you're running away from the police, and they say, "Stop or I'll shoot," and then they shoot.
Yeah, but
it has happened.
Yeah, and
it's happened here recently. They shot.
You don't want to mess with.
Terrible shame that.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with them when you're out in the field. There, I mean.
No, I know that, but I'm saying that you can be tried, jury convicted, the whole nine yards there for running away as a suspect.
Well,
so,
you know, I mean,
you could go to jail, yes, for and they could take your blood, but at least you're not dead.
Well, it's what exactly? Well, I mean, it's well known around these parts. I mean. You always have to drag him back to the porch before you call 911.
That's right.
I mean, look, I mean, the supposition in those cases you're talking about, Jimmy, in those cases you're talking about, the supposition is that the police officer has made the determination that the guy is going to commit some sort of deadly force felony elsewhere if he gets away. And that determination gets made. I realize it doesn't necessarily, they can make a mistake, and all the thing that happens is the cop gets fired or, gets leave with pay.
They get leave with pay on vacation.
No, they go,
it's called administrative leave with pay, and three days later they're back and they're clear.
But they're supposed to at least have some sort of measured response to that sort of.
I know, but here recently we had two or three here just locally where that got shot up.
Okay,
and
well,
again,
still, this is a sanctioning of taking the blood. I mean, this is, poking you with the stick. I mean, to me, I can't
We're just poking you with a bullet.
I can't believe you.
Poking you with a bullet.
Hey, it's like a needle, only different.
I can't believe
it's a big old fat needle, and we do it from afar.
Blood comes out.
Yeah, blood comes out. What's the difference? Mm-hmm. What's the problem here?
I can't believe
needle, bullet,
They can make you pee in a cup. I mean, to me, the drug test ought to be, if you can't tell I'm on drugs, then I pass. I mean,
go get out, man.
I mean,
okay, we're running out of time, and we do have to talk about Sotomayor.
Miss Sotomayor.
What's that?
We might be able to cut some.
All right, Sotomayor.
I didn't even have her on my list. It's such a non-thing.
Oh, my God.
I mean, what's going to
happen? What are you talking about?
Is...
It's a non-thing.
I mean, a non-thing.
It's a non-thing? You think
she's
in?
She's replacing Suter, for God's sakes. Who cares?
She's
no,
in?
Look, I mean, Jimmy, this is arguably a position of extreme power. I mean, she could be here. It's a life appointment. She could be here for 30 years or something.
Right.
You know?
But they all could.
I mean, I know, but my point is that this is not something that should be passed through lightly. I mean, this is a big deal. This is like a presidential election as far as I'm concerned.
Well, not only that, I believe somebody, let's see, there are... The total number of Supreme Court...
That's 110 or something.
Right,
it's only twice as number as president or something.
Yeah, exactly, right.
So, I mean, this is a very powerful position. And, in fact, I mean, I'll start off by saying that I cannot believe that there was so much lip service paid to the thought that he should put a woman or a minority on this court.
Yeah.
I mean, this is such a powerful position. The only measure that should be is this the kick-assest jurist that you could find anywhere. I mean, this should be the most brilliant person
Hanger Dogs had this pegged like 3 months ago. They go, white males need not apply.
Right.
Exactly.
No,
the only reason she was done on this was
they couldn't find somebody with her qualifications that was gay.
Right.
I mean,
no, and in fact,
black, Hispanic,
they wanted a
Hispanic woman and gay.
A transgender Wookiee.
Transgender, whatever, yeah. I mean, this is
half
the whole deal
dog.
There.
Right.
No, there. And,
look,
and a union member.
I cannot believe that more people are not just offended by the thought of that. The idea that they would in any way temper a choice based on anything other than their intellectual ability.
It has happened,
Have you noticed who's getting elected lately?
It has always happened. Let me tell you something else, which surprisingly, unfortunately, it's been to the freedom lovers' dismay, but over the years, presidents have chosen, quote, conservative or strict constructionist type people, and as soon as they get on the court, wham! They go no.
I know people.
Perfect. Yes.
People look. They do flip.
They
flip
go
and
nuts.
Go whichever way. I know. Well, everybody changes. In
it's
fact,
like a
I mean,
brain fart. Well, at, so maybe
well,
she look, will.
Well, it's possible. And
maybe old Scalia or something. Will,
fart in your general direction.
Look, I'm not
maybe
worried.
Scalia boner or something. You know, and she'll come around.
Look, look. When you look at where at her positions, and I went and did some
what
some
her
little...
position, Kuma Satra.
No.
We're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
I went back, Jimmy, and did some little R or medium R research on this.
Okay.
She's issued about 150 appellate opinions,
mm-hmm.
and I read about 15 of them.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so 10%. Okay, mm-hmm. and the notable thing about her opinions is as follows. That's it. There's nothing notable about them.
I see.
I mean, the sucky thing is, I'm reading these opinions, and, you know, yeah, a few of them deal with certain high-level issues, but they attack the issues in cursory ways, and they're decided on weird grounds. And
you know, this sounds kind of like that judge that I know. Let me mention her name.
No.
Don't want to do that, do we?
No, look. I'm not afraid of an activist judge, okay? Because an activist judge,
that's
another
an
way of
joke.
Saying, right? Another way of saying active judicial activism is basically that the people will do what they want to do. I mean, you have to have justices who are strong enough to stand up to the executive and to the Congress, okay? Well, you don't want an Earl Warren, obviously. No. That's a real activist judge who's issuing these broad orders to huge numbers of organizations and huge numbers of people that are just outrageously broad in their scope. But what you do want are justices who will rule that such and so is unconstitutional, who won't defer to the legislature when they just simply deem this to be that.
Right.
Or, you know, something to be constitutional. And we have had a dearth of strong justices in the last few decades. Nobody has really, really challenged what the executive branches and the legislative branch has done recently.
Right.
And so I wouldn't mind a, quote, activist judge or a more activist judge than we have on there right now. And so I had an open mind going with Sotomayor here thinking, okay, hey, you know, she could be good, she could be fine, but you read through these opinions and there's just nothing spectacular about them at all. And not only that, but they don't demonstrate this touch that he's talking about, that he wants them to have. You know,
wait a minute, you talk about what Obama said?
Obama said he wanted people to have a touch of reality.
I mean,
he's
look,
a common
well, the
man.
Is
he's
the common
he running
man.
GM.
Let me give you an example, Jimmy, just real quick.
Okay.
A case, okay? Like, for example, they've got these weird employment law situations nowadays. You know in the Constitution that the federal government is prohibited from assailing anybody's rights in these enumerated ways in the first, you know, 10 amendments of the Constitution.
Right.
Well, now what they've done is they've warped this around so that if the government is employing somebody, that the employee can assert these rights against their employer, the government, if they feel like their rights have been infringed. Okay. For example, okay, in this particular case, a guy has a government job and he gets a letter in the mail soliciting some donations for something. And what he sends back instead of money is a hugely bigoted letter, you know, with full of racial slurs and all kinds of stuff. Well, the employer, this government entity, finds out about these racial slurs, and so they fire the guy.
Right.
Okay? Well, he asserts a First Amendment right. That is, he says that he has the right to free speech, and therefore he shouldn't be fired by a government institution, shouldn't have his First Amendment rights infringed and lose his job.
This was up in New York, New Jersey. I didn't know about
it. I couldn't believe this.
Yeah.
And her ruling was with this guy. That is to say, you can't be fired because of what you say. Now, look.
Now, it wasn't at work.
No.
It was off work, so shame. But she said freedom of speech.
If you went to your employer's, if you were out somewhere and your employer
was
there.
Right. You're at the bar with your friends.
And you go off cursing and whatever. You get to work the next day, your employer can fire you, you know, and you can't assert a First Amendment right to not be fired because you were out somewhere speaking. I mean, it's their general impression. They can fire you because they don't like you.
Right.
So
they've taken away a lot of that.
So
that's,
you know,
pretty hard nowadays.
Yeah, these days.
But that one argument on this could be, no, he was a fireman. This person, this gentleman was a fireman.
No, this was a different one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'll tell you about the fireman one. That's the most, the biggest case she's involved in right now is another one, which is totally spurious.
Well, it was a similar one, the one I'm talking about, the fire, with the fireman. But they could also argue in that case that he was a public servant and that his racism or his bigotry could affect how he saved someone in the fire.
I mean, anything. The point is that I can't believe that they could get a First Amendment claim all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court and to an appeals court, and she wanted to give him the job. The appeals court actually turned him down and made, you know, allowed the government entity to fire the guy, but,
surprising.
Yeah, it is. And then there are other ones, like the most notorious case she's involved in.
Mine was a Giuliani verse.
Okay.
For something New York. So.
Okay. And there was another one. Maybe the guy was a fireman. I don't remember. He was administrative something or another. But this other one with the most notorious one that she's involved with is up for the Supreme Court right now. The United States Supreme Court has issued certiorari for it, and they're going to hear it. And it's basically a group of firefighters. A firefighting city gave a test to all their firefighters. Yeah. And said, we're going to promote whoever does well on the test. But only the whites and Hispanics did well on the test, so they decided to not give anybody the promotion.
Right.
And
they
threw the test
out or something.
Right. Yeah. And she ruled that they could do that, that there was not discrimination in any way.
So she ruled against the Hispanics?
No, she ruled for them.
No, she ruled against the Hispanics.
Getting their promotion.
Right.
Right, because they did good, and she ruled against that.
Right.
Against her peeps.
She did. And in other cases, she's ruled against minorities.
Sonya from the block.
But the point is that she's putting out a ruling out there that is really openly racist. I mean, it uses race.
That's been the big brouhaha, too. I mean, they got Newt Gingrich the other day. He called her, implied that she was a racist ruling. And
I'm doing it right now.
Oh, my God.
That's why I thought we could talk more about that one, but we got to go now. But we'll be back soon.
Yep.
Hopefully.
Okay. I'm going to roll a little Hendrix. Did you guys see that?
Sotomayor.
That little gig there where...
Sotomayor.
Nah, there was friggin' some guy, a rotary named James Tappy Wright, alleges that Hendrix's manager, Michael Jeffrey, actually once directly confessed to killing him by stuffing pills in his mouth and washing him down with several bottles of red wine. It just happened. He goes, one night it was like in 70. Because the fact that Hendrix, he was in a contract with him, and he basically was going to leave him. And if he left him, then this guy wasn't going to get anything. His death was listed in 1970 as barbiturate intoxication and inhalation of vomit. And Wright writes that Jeffrey confessed, I was in London the night of Jimmy's death, and together with some old friends, we went around to Monica's hotel room. I guess that was his...
girlfriend, yeah.
Yeah, got a handful of pills, stuffed them into his mouth, and then poured a few bottles of red wine down his windpipe. Son of a bitch is going to leave me. If I lost him, I'd lose everything. So he basically confessed. So anyway, little thing that was cruising around. But
was this on his deathbed or something?
No, this was just why this article just came out the other day. Yesterday, actually, I got it. But this guy stood to collect $2 million as a beneficiary on Jimmy's life insurance policy. You know, so basically he feared that Hendrix was going to fire him. So he decided to wipe him out, I guess. I don't know. That's the rumors. It's alleged. So, I don't know.
All right. Well,
if it's true, then that sucks. But because this guy friggin' blew away one of the, you know, the baddest assest musicians that ever lived. And, in fact, one of my friend's dads actually saw him play live. Well, Chris's dad saw him play live. Said it was unbelievable. But anyway, rock and roll, man.
Yeah.
We will see you guys soon, man.
Next time.
Next time on the Jimmy Doan Show.
The Jimmy Doan Show.